you very much. So this talk, in fact, is a continuation of some work which has been performed over some time with people in both Lyon, Pierre Borgnia, and Nice, André Ferrari and Cédric Richard. And what I will present here will be mostly a variation on a technique that we introduced for the purpose mostly of testing for stationarity. So I will, of course, recast the problem by reminding some basic rationale about the approach we adopt for this problem. And for the starting point, the question of testing for stationarity imposes to think a little bit again about what is really stationarity. And if we look at the theoretical definition, this is something which is well known and which, of course, has very good properties in theory. But from a practical point of view, it's not necessarily very useful because we have to make some further assumptions about stationarity relative, for instance, to some observation scale. And also because what really we test as stationarity, which means that we compare an evolutive situation in some sense with a stable situation, needs to have at hand a reference about what would be an equivalent stationary situation. And so what we adopt as a pragmatic point of view was really to characterize stationarity by using stationarized data, which are drawn from the signal itself, which means that we preserve some properties, which are the properties of a signal, be it stationary or not, but we infer from this a stationarized version from which we can build a new hypothesis of stationarity and construct a test. And the test is based on time frequency features, which can be used either by means of distance, which contrasts a global behavior with a local behavior, or by other learning machine learning techniques like one-class SVM. So what are surrogates? Classical surrogates are constructed algorithmically in a very simple way, because it just amounts to take the Fourier transform of an observed signal, which is composed of a magnitude and a phase, and just to keep unchanged the magnitude while replacing the phase by a random one. So it's a randomization of the phase. And the purpose of this is that by randomizing the phase, we are destroying, in fact, the organization in time of the frequency content of the signal, which is a signature of the possible non-stationarity. So constructing a surrogate just amounts to do this, which is keeping this modulus magnitude and replace the phase by a random phase and taking the inverse Fourier transform. And this is a technique which had been originally introduced in nonlinear physics for nonlinearity tests, but that can be used in this context for testing for stationarity. So here is an example of why this makes sense. So if you take this signal, which is a deterministic signal modulated in amplitude and in frequency, as revealed by the time frequency distribution here, then we can say that this is non-stationary because we have some evolution of the marginal in time, and we have some evolution of the local frequency content. Okay, and the global spectrum is given here, and this is just the magnitude. But now, if we just keep this magnitude and we randomize the phase, and we go back in the original time domain, we can get something like this. And this is one example of one surrogate, and this is a time frequency signature. And we clearly see that in this case, we have destroyed the organization which makes that the different frequencies are along a given curve in the time frequency plane, which amounts also to have a marginal which is less localized. And if we do this for a number of different surrogates, for instance, averaging over 40 surrogates here, we get something which is more and more stationary in the sense that the local behavior is similar to the global behavior. And it has really to be emphasized that either for this signal or for this one, we strictly have exactly the same global marginal in frequency, which is the signature of the stationarity if this would be invariant in time. Okay, so classically, it has been shown that a small number, typically 550 independently drawn surrogates, can be enough to characterize the null hypothesis of stationarity. And it has also been shown that we get a strict stationarity by doing this surrogate trick. However, it has been also shown that strict stationarity can be a too strong commitment when we want to compare an observed signal with the stationarized counterpart, especially because the rejection rate of the null hypothesis is higher than the prescribed confidence level, and also because when we start with a signal which is deterministic, for which also we want to have an interpretation of stationarity, of course, because of the randomization, we get some more disorder by means of the randomization, and we cannot exactly, we make the test a little bit pessimistic. So what we propose here is some kind of intermediate between the situation of non-stationarity of the observed signal, let's say, and the strictly stationary version obtained by the surrogate. Instead of replacing the phase, we just propose to modify the phase so that here, if the original phase is psi sub x, we just add some random phase here, which is some random phase noise, so that the frequency-frequency distribution of the surrogate, which is just a 2D Fourier transform of the covariance function, which can be non-stationary, can be factored like this with two terms, one which really is related to the structure of the original signal, and the other one which plays a role of a weighting factor here, depending on this additional phase, for which the stationarity, which is well known to be to have a main diagonal only non-zero in the frequency plane, will be the signature of stationarity. So a first possibility for doing this is the simplest one, is just to take for theta the additional phase of white Gaussian noise of a given variance, and in this case it can be easily proved that the weighting factor takes on this form when the sequence is zero mean stationary with this correlation function, it's like this, and with this model we have this expression, and this expression of course tends to this Dirac limit in the limit of the variance of the noise which goes to infinity, which is exactly the situation of stationarity. And so what we see is that we increase the noise level, of course we get a transition from non-stationarity, if the signal is non-stationary, to stationarity, with the name transitional surrogate. So as an illustration, here is a case of a pure tone for which the envelope is supposed to be one everywhere here, and here is the evolution of the envelope, okay, of the surrogate when the level of the noise is progressively increased here, and what we see that ultimately we get something extremely erratic, but with this transition we get some softened transition which makes more sense in the sense of comparing with a stationarized situation. The second option we consider is to rethink about the weighting factor, and just to remark that this has something to do with the characteristic function of the increments process of the phase. And so if we write this way, for any added phase which has stationary increments, then the weighting factor takes a very simple form, which is just related to the second-order structure function of this noise phase. And for instance, if we take the example of fractional Gaussian noise with a Hertz exponent in between 0 and 1, with 1 half, which is just the classical white Gaussian noise, then we get an explicit form for this weighting factor, and again, we get something which is a weighting of the around the main diagonal, which makes the process converge to stationarity when either or sigma square and is increased, or the correlation converging correlation is modified. And so here we just focus on the standard Wiener-Levy process, which is obtained with h is equal 1/2, and we only make use of the variance as a control parameter for the transition. So our framework is basically for a given signal to make use of a given time frequency distribution, which acts as a spectral time frequency spectral estimate of a time varying spectrum. It can be a spectrogram or multi-window spectrogram as well. And the idea, if the process is stationary, then the local spectrum should identify to the global spectrum for any time. And the test is to compare how much these two quantities, local and global, are identical or not. And the reference, which is used for the null hypothesis of stationarity, is constructed on the surrogates for which we can draw some distribution of the properties. And so here, more precisely, we do this in a two parameters plane. by normalizing the local time frequency spectra at given time this way, and then by extracting something which is a signature of the time variation of the marginal in some sense, and here a signature of the frequency centroid, which is also a signature in the frequency along the frequency axis. And here we are interested in how this quantity fluctuates for the different position in time. And for making the test effective, we do not make use of the distance here. We just use something inspired from machine learning technique, so one class support vector machines, where what we try to do is to enclose as much as possible of these two parameters within a given circle here with some slack variable, so that there is within this circle we can give a given confidence for the situation of stationarity, which is for which, let us say, that the surrogates play the role of a learning set for the machine learning approach. Okay, and so here is an example here where we have a surrogate class with a migration from the situation here of the observation, which is what it is, okay, and here which progressively goes to more and more stationary situation by means of an increased level of the noise. And here is the asymptotic situation which would be obtained with the classical surrogate technique. And what we see, of course, is that by varying this parameter, we can make the effective situation more or less distant from the observation from the stationarized situation. Okay, so two ways of measuring the efficiency of the approach. First, under H0, which is supposed to be the null hypothesis of stationarity. So we are interested in how the approach allows to reproduce the null hypothesis of stationarity. So we start with a stationary process, which is just given by an AR2 process in this case, and we look at different transitional surrogate when varying the sigma. And here, this has been done with 1,000 realization of the process, and in each case with 50 surrogates. And here is a function of the false alarm rate as it is observed as a function of the variance of standard deviation of the phase noise. Okay, with three different confidence levels here, which goes from 5%, 10%, and 15%. And here are in blue the situation of the white Gaussian noise transitional surrogates, and in red the Wiener-Levy transitional surrogates. And here are the coverage corresponding to this situation given this realization. And what we see here is the asymptotic of the classical surrogates, and we see that we are slightly over pessimistic as compared to what is a prescribed level, and this is less true, and maybe this is the same. And here we see how we control this variation, and of course here we go to a degenerate situation because we do not do anything in terms of stationarization. And here what we observe is that we have this control parameter which allows, by taking a sigma which is about 1, to be in a better situation for reproducing of the H0 hypothesis. And as far as the H1 hypothesis, we get the same kind of behavior. And in this case, we take for a test signal something which is supposed to be an increasingly non-stationary signal, because it's just the modulation of a white Gaussian noise by something which is 1 plus a cosine function. Okay, and we take this number 5, which is the ratio between the length and the period of the oscillation here. And we vary here m, which controls the amplitude modulation. And this is a function. This function of the amplitude modulation here controls the probability of being stationary, as it is observed with here different levels of the noise which is added. And what we see again is that we observed progressively a collapse. And as soon as again the parameter is something like 1, then we get almost a collapse for the detection, let us say, of all the different curves on what is expected to be the right situation. So as a summary, in this paper, we propose to introduce a new family of surrogates, which is basically something which control a transition between a non-stationary situation and a stationary situation, which is aimed at improving the, let us say, more classical technique now that has been introduced before of stationarizing by means of a surrogate which just randomizes a phase. And what we showed on those examples is that this is supposed to prove to allow for a better tuning of the stationary test, especially because the false alarm rate can be set to the prescribed level with no loss in detection power. Of course, there are many improvement or variation still that can be imagined for the control. For instance, here we just consider something in which we vary the value of the sigma of the noise, but we can think of something which much more had the flavor of cumulative function, where we would have a distribution of the sigma so as to include more and more the situation of increasing levels of noise. And also we here chose not to play with the second parameter in the WTS family, which is a Hurst exponent. And the Hurst exponent, of course, is known to control the correlation of the increments of a process with stationary increments. And of course, adding some correlation in the phase is one of the easiest way to do something which is less stationary than with classical surrogate. And so we can also imagine to play with this extra parameter with or without the other parameter, which is the level of this fractional Gaussian noise for improving, again, the test. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for an excellent talk. So traditional surrogate data methods were originally introduced for testing for nonlinearity in the data, meaning the deviation from Gaussianity. And they're all hypothesis testing, and you had test statistics like delta epsilon, correlation integral, C3, or time reversal, or DVV, or anything. And those tests typically would mistake non-stationarity for nonlinearity. So we could not differentiate whether the signal was stationary but nonlinear or non-stationary or whatever else. Now, I'm really pleased that we have a test for non-stationarity. But of course, my question would be then, how about nonlinearity? Have you thought about it?
Yes, this is a tricky question. First, because, it's not easy to speak about station. Well, what we tried to do was to rephrase a little bit differently what is stationarity for a signal. Linearity or non-linearity is not really for a signal, but for the system generating the signal, and that's not that clear either how we can mix together. So here we really wanted to stick to stationarity or non-stationarity, and from a point of view which avoided also some of the limitation that people thought to be limitation for classical surrogate data analysis. And for instance, you mentioned the Gaussianity, and it's important because in our case, we do so many things on the data, and especially we go in the transform plane, and then we square, and then we average, and so on and so forth, that we are not really faced with a problem of preserving or destroying nonlinearity as it is in Gaussianity as it is in linearity tests. So I would say that at this moment we didn't think of applying the same kind of thing for nonlinearity, because I think most things have been done with surrogates for nonlinearity, but not for, let's say that non-stationarity was thought as a problem for surrogate data analysis for people interested in nonlinearity. And for us, it's not a problem, it's an advantage. So. Yeah. Yes, yeah. I will just distinguish between the different type of approach. Let us say the the principle, the idea of using surrogate data for constructing a reference, a stationarized reference for the null hypothesis of stationarity, which would be homogeneity, let us say, in a field or something like this. This has been done. We did that partly, not solely, but we did that on some images. But for the variation I presented today, of course, we can imagine to do the same. This has not been done with these transitional surrogates. But otherwise, for images, this has been considered. And the idea was especially to think about stationarity of textures, for instance, and global structures that can exist in the image. So the principle exists. It's that this has not been thoroughly investigated nor applied to many applications. But yes.
Thanks. I'm a bit confused about the use of these surrogates, because normally, traditionally, you would use a surrogate in a test for nonlinearity or non-stationarity. What you propose is that you have a surrogate that you can tune, you have a surrogate for which you can tune the amount of non-stationarity, if any. How does that relate to statistical test for non-stationarity?
Yeah, okay, so let's say that what we need is first to use surrogate for testing for stationarity by saying that surrogate stationarize the data, so we can build some distribution of features thanks to the set of the surrogates. Okay, and we can construct tests this way. And what we observed is that this test tends not to reproduce properly, for instance, the null hypothesis when you are in a situation which is supposed to be a stationary situation. And what we see with this approach is that when we have this extra degree of freedom, which is given by this sigma square, let's say, parameter for the transition, then we can tune so as to reproduce this property, which is mostly to control the domain of stationarity, which corresponds more precisely to what we expect in a stationary situation. That's mostly that.
But I can see that in...
I'm sorry, we have to move on. Sorry, you can take it offline. Okay. Sorry.